Hi, I am Rumi Paramore, and this is Zion's Road podcast. Okay, so today I'll be talking about the mystery of time. We all know what time is, or we think we know what time is. But what is time, and what is eternity? So I believe this would be like the first of two episodes that will cover this subject of time. Okay, so the Bible says in Genesis 1, the popular scripture, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. So we see three things there that sort of make up creation. In the beginning, which is time, God created the heavens, which is space, and the earth, which is matter. So, when the Bible talks about earth, usually it's not just talking about earth in the sense of the planet. It's talking about the visible creation, the things that we can see. So, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth, time, space, matter. So what was before the beginning? Of course, God is an eternal being. So God pre-existed the beginning. So God is the creator of time. God formed time. And in Genesis 1, the Bible says he made the moon and the sun for times and for seasons. So the way we perceive time is according to the way the earth revolves around the sun. So that is how we perceive time, and that is how we structure our lives according to this revolution of the earth, or according to this revolving of the earth around the sun. So this is how we have our 24 hours, 12 hours. So this is how we have the structure of time that we have today. So it was God that created that system. So God is the creator of time, but God pre-existed time because he dwells in eternity. So he made the beginning. So in Genesis 1, we see the beginning of time, the creation of time. And man is in this realm of time, but we are being prepared to live in eternity. Okay. So, God created time, but he put us in this time, in this realm of time, for to walk through this earth for a specific amount of time, to fulfill a specific purpose. So we have a calling to fulfill in this sphere or in this realm of time. But God has given us eternal life, right? The Bible says, "As many that believe in Him, to them give power to be." John 3:16. Sorry, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life. So, by the indwelling presence of God within us, which is eternal life, we also have access to the eternal dimension. So, what is time? Time is the time is the flow of God's purposes from the beginning to the end. So time is the flow of the purposes of God from the beginning to the earth. So when God set up time in the beginning, in Genesis 1, verse 1, He also set up the end of time. So that is why in Revelations chapter 1, when Jesus appeared to John in his glory, in that glory state, Revelations 1 verse 8, he said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending." Verse 11 again. "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Okay. Verse 17, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." So Jesus was speaking to John. He said, "I am the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." So Christ himself is the beginning and the end of time. So the Bible said he descended that he may also ascend to fill all things. So he fills up both space and time. So Christ revealed himself to John as the beginning and the end. So that is why if you read the book of Revelation, John is going through the timeline. And he's been taken to the past. He's been taken to the future. God is showing him things to come. Why? God took him from the Alpha to the Omega, from the beginning and the end, from the beginning to the end. Right? When God created the beginning, he also created the end. So John had the revelation of Christ, the beginning, and the revelation of Christ, the end. So Jesus is in the beginning, is also in the end of time, and is also within time. So that is why in Revelations 4, I'm just going to read that quickly. Revelations 4, when the four beasts we are singing, Revelations 4 verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So God was, is, and is to come. What does that mean? Was, is, and is to come. That shows that God is in the past, is in the present, and is in the future together as one. So God dwells in the realm of the eternal now. So he's not trying to be in the future. He's already in the future. He doesn't need to transport himself to the past. He's already in the past. So as I'm talking to you right now, God is in your future. 10 years, 20 years, 40 years in your future. That is why Jesus spoke in John 8. John 8 from verse 58 says, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." You know, that English is not correct, right? That grammatical structure is not correct. Before Abraham was, I am. But in the perspective of eternity, is correct. Before Abraham was, he was supposed to say, "I was," but he says, "I am." So the revelation I was trying to give is that as I'm talking to you now, according to Jesus, I am with Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. So that is why God, when God revealed himself to Moses, Moses said, "What should I call you?" He said, "I am that I am." So he is I am. He is not just the was. He's not just the one who's going to come. He's not just the one who is here. He is I am. So he is right now with Abraham in Abraham's time. He is right now with Jacob in Jacob's time. He is right now with your grandchildren in their time. So time, you know, the way we perceive time is from past, present to future. But the way the eternal beings perceive time is through the revelation of the eternal now. So even quantum physicists, they know this. It was Albert Einstein that said the distinction between past, present, and future is but a stubbornly persistent illusion. The distinction between past, present, and future is but a stubbornly persistent illusion. So he understood that the way we perceive time is an illusion. And that illusion is, you know, there are two Greek words for time in scripture. There's chronos and there's kairos. Kairos is God appointed times and seasons. Chronos is the normal time that we know. So that is the illusion of chronos. Oh, we see time as a flowing river from the past to the future. But in reality, even according to quantum physics, time is a frozen river, not a flowing river. So as I'm talking to you now, God is with you in your future. He's not going to be with you in the future. He is with you in your future. So if you have the revelation of the Alpha and Omega, you can see the future because the future is happening now. The future is not going to happen. The future is happening now. God is I am. So he is in the future. He is in the past. So the past, the present, and the future is happening now. So God dwells in the dimension of the eternal now. It's called the I am. I am. And it's crazy when you think about it, right? He was, is, and is to come. So when Jesus appeared to John as the Alpha and the Omega, John was taken into the dimension of the I am. Revelation 4, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and I heard a voice saying, come up hither. And when he came up hither, then he began to travel through time. He began to see the things that would take place in the future. Because in God's perspective, these things have taken place already. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. So he's in the past, he's in the present, he's also in the future as one. So when God looks at you, he does not just see your present and your past. He sees your future. He sees you as he has created you to be. So you are not just the one who is trying to be. You already are in the eyes of God. Because he sees your future as well. So the idea of time being a flowing river is what, you know, even physicists have dealt with for a very long time. Like I said, Einstein said, the distinction between past, present, and future is but a stubbornly persistent illusion. So the structure of time that we know or that we have is an illusion. And this illusion is created by the revolving of the earth around the sun. So it is the revolving of the earth around the sun that gives us this illusion of time. But in heaven, there is no time. It is the eternal now. So the perspective of time that they have in heaven, even though I say there is no time, the idea of time in heaven is according to the revelation of God, or according to the light that God is releasing in various seasons. So the angels keep on crying, holy, 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 because they put their heads down, lift it up again, and they see a fresh revelation of God. So it is the flowing of that endless river, of that endless revelation of God, that is the idea of time in heaven. So in the apex and in the age to come, he will keep revealing himself. So for every season, there is a revelation that God is releasing concerning himself. And this revelation, or the light that is coming from the throne, is what heaven knows as times and seasons. But on earth is an illusion. It is the revolving of the earth around the sun that gives us the perception of time. That makes us see, okay, we have a beginning when we were born, and we have end when we are going to leave this world. And the moment you leave this world, you are taken from the grasp of Kronos. And you are taken into the realm of eternity. But the mystery is this, that you are already in eternity. And eternity is already within you. So, this is Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. Says God has set eternity within our hearts. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom the work that God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, if you read Ecclesiastes 3,
from verse 1. It says, there is a time for everything.
There is a time for everything under the sun. So again, it is the sun that creates the illusion of time. It says there is a time for everything under the sun. I'm looking for my Ecclesiastes. Glory to God. Ecclesiastes 3 from verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, and a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal. So it goes about talking about time, 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 time. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Verse 9. What profit hath he that walketh in that wherein he laboreth? Verse 10. I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in, or he has set eternity in our hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. So he has put eternity in our hearts. From verse 1, Solomon begins to talk first about time. There is a time for everything. Then 11, he says, but he has put eternity in our hearts, but no man can discern the works of God from the beginning to the end. So eternity is within us. So if eternity is within us, that means we have access to eternity. So even though we are locked up in Chronos, in this realm of time, within us is eternity. So it is the desire of God that we are able to access the eternal dimension that is within our hearts, so that we are not just shut up and bound up in Chronos. We also have access beyond the grip of time. And that is what happened to John. He saw Christ, the beginning and the end. Then he was taken up. Then God begins to take him through time. And he saw time from the beginning to the end. That is why in Genesis 1, it was only John when he was among the disciples that wrote about Jesus. It was only John who said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in 1 John, said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have handled, of the Word of life, eternal life which was with the Father, was manifested to us. So he saw the revelation of Christ as the beginning and the end. So he was taken through history. Like Rick Joyner said, history is his story. So John was taken through history from the beginning of time to the end of time. I believe he did not write even half of what he saw. He only wrote things that were relevant for us to know, because he was taken through the timeline. So the things he wrote are Kairos, you know, moments in time. You know, in scripture, there are two words for time. There's Chronos and there's Kairos. So Chronos is the normal time that we know. Kairos is God-appointed seasons. So the way time is, you know, God has appointed certain things for us within this timeline of Chronos. And those appointed times are the Kairos seasons, or the Kairos times of God. So let's say I wake up this morning and I brush my teeth. It's normal. It's not, God did not appoint that, oh, on the 15th of October, I'm going to brush my teeth, or I'm going to sleep. No. But within the timeline of Chronos, there are certain appointed seasons, which is called Kairos in Greek. And those seasons are God-appointed seasons that point us to our destiny, or that are like roadmaps in our destiny. That is why people have deja vu. Deja vu means already seen. Why is it already seen? You see something, oh, I've seen this before. It is because your spirit is interacting in the eternal dimension. Your spirit has seen it before, but your mind is just catching up with that reality. So there are certain seasons and certain times that God has appointed. So let's say from January to February, to January to December, let's say there are 8 Kairos God appointed times in my life. Let's say one of them is I'll meet someone who will tell me something about a business or something like that. Then let's say the second one is that I'm going to share the gospel with someone who would be so important in bringing the gospel to another nation. And let's say the third one is that I'm going to be praying one day and get a certain revelation from God that will change my life forever. Okay. So what happens is that those three encounters I just talked about, those are Kairos seasons. But to get to the Kairos seasons, I have to pass through Kronos, which is the usual time, the normal time, the earth revolving around the sun. So the Kronos time that I pass through is leading to the Kairos moments of God, where this happens and I say, oh, this is a God-appointed time. God certainly appointed this. So there are those moments are the times that God has appointed for us. And those Kairos moments point us to our destiny. And they are the roadmaps to destiny. When it's happening, you say, oh, this is divine. Yes, it's divine because that is a God-appointed moment. But after that, you are going through Kronos. And you go to class, you go to work, those things are normal. But within the experience of Kronos are Kairos moments that God has appointed. That you say, yes, this is the hand of the Lord. So, time, Kairos, Kronos. But the Bible says he has put eternity within our hearts. And it's also possible for people to miss their Kairos moments. It's also possible. Because certain people are outside of the will of God. So what will happen? God will need to do something to bring them into that path. So that once again, they begin to experience the Kairos moments of God. That will bring them to their destiny. So, like I said, this is probably one of two series. I think the next time I'll talk about destiny and how we walk in the path that God has destined for us to walk in. So, Jesus is the beginning and the end. If you understand this, you can see into the past. You can see into the future. Because the future is already happening and it has already happened. We dwell in eternity, in the I am, the realm of the eternal now. Thank you very much. Make sure you follow me if you are listening on Spotify, whatever platform you are listening on, and share this podcast. God bless you.